Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. I ought to stop saying if. Turn in your Bibles. Chapter 50, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. And if you have anything to take some notes on, I'd like for you to do that. I believe you will be blessed as we share for a few moments here. This reads so simply, so powerfully. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, "For the Lord God will help me." How's that? Is that okay? "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." There's several one verses throughout the Bible, maybe two verses, that are part of my weekly grazing in the Word of God, especially when you face difficult things or hard situations or challenging times. But just to know this one verse, one day I was in a difficult moment a few years ago, and I was reading through Isaiah, and I found this verse. I'd read past it many times, and I'll read it one more time. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." I'm going to give just a simple title to this today, Flint-like Faith. Flint-like Faith. Or unstoppable faith. Really what I want to share with us in the time that we have today is these are four faith declarations that hell cannot stop from coming to pass. These are four declarations based on the Word of God that hell cannot stop us from doing what God called us to do. Over a number of years, we all face impossibilities. God knows I've lost count of the impossibilities we faced in this ministry over these years. But when something is challenging or not going right, or maybe people aren't saying what they should say, nice things, or whatever, you just look to God. You don't run. You don't back up. You don't turn to the right. You don't turn to the left. You just say, "What did God tell me last?" And it's still in place, and you continue to go forward. And as you go forward, you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We all need help. We all need help. I quote quite often a quote of Billy Graham, who said the strongest prayer that could ever be prayed is, "God, help me." God, help me. There are several references in Isaiah, even in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41:10, he said, "I will help thee." Isaiah 41:13, "Fear not, I will help thee." Isaiah 41:14, "I will help thee, saith the Lord." It sounds to me like God is trying to get the message over, if you'll just let me, if you'll just look to me, give me a chance, put it in my, bring it before me. Jeremiah said, "Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." Call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. As I looked at this verse, just breaking it down, four faith declarations that hell cannot stop. "For the Lord God will help me." Help is found some 122 times in the Word of God. And actually, help and or helped is found roughly 146 times. Now, I could miss one. I could have been one over or one or two less because the print's a little bit small, but that's the count that I got. For the Lord God will help me. You say, now what do you base that on? Well, He's done it before. He'll do it again. He's done it before. He will do it again. I really appreciate the faithfulness of this church. As you know, we had a number of 50,000 that we were raising, and God helped us to reach that. And then before the end of the year, we had about three checks that came through that really made a difference. And I want us to keep it there. Amen. Praise God. I want us daily to just join our faith together that God is going to continue to bring people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And when I say good people, I mean people that will love what God is doing in this house. It's like a wheel out of line on a car. If you don't get it fixed, your whole front end will be trashed over a period of time. Just go out on the freeway and run it 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. If you don't fix a wheel out of balance, you'll be fixing a whole front end that's messed up. And folks that are crosswise and just don't want to go forward with God, they can take more time. We have lost some time this last year. But in the name of Jesus, let the past be the past. We're going on. We're not going to stop. We're not going to give up, let up, or shut up. We're going to do what God called us to do. Hallelujah. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Hebrews 13:6. Well, in fact, I'd like to just turn to Hebrews. Praise God. I'll tell you, this is awesome. Do you like the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews actually 13:8. Let me say that before we go on. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He was, He is, and what He is, He shall forever be. He's a miracle working God. And He works miracles for those that trust Him. Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest, speaking of Jesus, that is passed into the heavenlies, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Actually, that word possession can well be translated confession. And I know some people are critical. They don't quite understand. You know, there's some folks that say, whatever will be even if it never is. And that's not real smart. But I believe what Jesus believed in Mark when He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. And there was a fig tree in the process that died. There was a fig tree in the process that died. But He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Speak to the mountain. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what anyone says. We all know in our hearts what I'm saying is true. Your words determine your future. And our words all get off track every once in a while. Maybe you're the one person in the crowd that isn't. But, you know, every once in a while I'll have a few off moments or a few off hours. Then I get over that and I said, the only thing that's going to work is what's been working around here through all these years. Get back on the Word, believe the Word, speak the Word, live the Word, and go forward. Hallelujah. Go forward. I know He said it to them in a ship, in a water situation, but our command is not go out and sink. It's to get in the boat and go to the other side. Because the other side are where the miracles took place, where the healings took place. When they got to the other side, powerful things happened. Folks, we're going to the other side. We're not going under, we're going over. We have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our high priest is touched with the feelings of our infirmities or our limitations. And this often, through the years, especially in my beginning days of really walking with God, getting some of the simple principles of faith in place, this encouraged me. But Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's a victor. He's a conqueror. He was tempted. He understands what you're going through right now. He understands something that may be very frustrating and whatever. He ran the gamut of experience on this earth, but he did not give in. Hallelujah. So let us, you, me, therefore come boldly. We need some bold prayers. Well, get Brother so-and-so to pray. He always prays a nice prayer. That sounds good, but that's not the way it is. I'd rather hear somebody butcher the King's English and pray a prayer of faith than someone give a flawless theological prayer that doesn't work. You've got to believe what you're doing for it to work. And he said, therefore, let us come boldly into the throne of grace. Brother John Osteen had a visiting minister in his pulpit. Of course, you know, he's Spirit-filled Baptist. He's with Jesus now, and his son's carrying on a great work. But this man was preaching, and he stood up to pray. And he said, oh, thou great and mighty God, thou knowest how weak we are. Lord, thou knowest how frail we are. Lord, thou knowest how many times we fail. Oh, God. You know, and John Osteen went up and got him by the back of his belt and said, sit down, bud. You're not in any shape to preach in this church. And started preaching. God's not waiting for pretty prayers. God wants some prayers of faith. I said, God wants some prayers of faith. So he said, let us come to the throne of grace boldly, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace to help. Help. Grace to help in the time of need. Help is grace. It's God's grace being manifested in our behalf. Hallelujah. Literally, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that word help, it means to surround, to protect, to protect, to aid in any way that is needed. New Testament gives this illustration, the one that I found. It's a rope or a chain that will either hold a ship together, undergird the ship, that can hold. I don't know all the ways of shipbuilding back then, but if there's a problem, it's a rope or a chain that will hold a ship together or hold a mighty ship at a dock. I've marveled more than once looking up at a big ship and seeing that rope that is holding that ship from moving. That's, you let the ship out of the harbor, turn the motors on, and it'll go a long way. But that rope holds that big bulk of ship. Hallelujah. And so when we're seeking God's help, He surrounds us with those mighty warring angels. He protects us. God is a protector. God is a protector. Hallelujah. I said God is a protector. When they threw the Hebrew children into the burning fiery furnace, the ones that were burned were the ones that threw them in. The ones that went into the fiery furnace came out without even smelling of smoke. Hallelujah. Just keep the switch of faith turned on. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're surrounded by those warring angels. We're protected by this elite grouping of angels. We have God's aid and help in any way that is needed. We have that rope or a chain to hold, that can hold a ship together or hold it at dock or to hold steady. We have that. Don't get your eyes on Goliath. I haven't preached on Goliath, David and Goliath, in a long time, but I almost got started there. But let's just give you one illustration. Big giant. Biggest giant I've ever seen. And the rumor is he has five brothers. They're just bad as he is. But I heard that anyone that brings that giant down gets the king's daughter for his wife. He gets a real nice bonus. His taxes, he doesn't have to pay taxes. He'll be exempt from taxes. And he's going to be a hero of the nation. David said, I believe I'll apply for that job. Hallelujah. You know the story, but I just like to hear it. You know that big giant saw David coming, cursed him, ridiculed him, criticized him, spoke down to him. You know, it's just like David couldn't even get him on his ear wavelength. He had his mind made up. He had his stones with extra stones if one happened to miss. He had another one to pop in there right quick. He was small, but he was kind of like a little Maltese dog we had. She was almost just a few days away from being 20 years old. Little white ball of fur. And that's the only present Janet wanted for her high school graduation. So that was, you've heard my story how I went in. She said, Dad, if you'll just go look at this dog, you won't have to buy it. So I went and looked at the dog. And before long, I was buying everything you have to have a dog, you know. But I had to be careful letting her out the front of the house because people, there were two or three real bad dogs. And they were on a leash. But the people would come walking by, and one day I looked up, and I mean, that ferocious growl, she was heading for the street. I looked up, oh, my Lord, meanest dog I've ever seen in my life. I said, Jesus, help us, help us. And the people with the big dog, they just gave a little sign there, and the dog just sat down in the middle of the road. And our little old Maltese walked right. And I bent over and scooped her up and headed back to the house. The dog was obviously facing something that could have ended her life with one big bite. But all she could think about, I believe I can whip you. I believe I can bring you down. What are you doing on our street anyway? My name's Alexandria. And I'm going to take you out, big dog. And as I scooped up my little dog, I looked at that dog's face, make sure it wasn't coming after me, you know. And that dog looked like it was saying, oh, brother. Oh, my. You know, the problem is we need the faith and the courage of that little Maltese dog. There's nothing that Satan has that's bigger or badder than our God and the warring angels of heaven and all of God's arsenal. Hallelujah. So, for the Lord God will help me. Say it out loud. For the Lord God will help me. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace. Secondly, and we're still in one verse of scripture here, therefore, I shall not be confounded. I will not be confounded. It means, the word confounded means to wound or to insult or to hurt or to wound. And I think how many times, seemed like we have faced impossible things all the way through. We didn't have anything to start in the post office building. And then 12 years later, we didn't have really what we could make the payments, but we went downtown to a 2,000-seat auditorium from a 200-seat chapel. That was impossible. And I was just thinking, it seemed like everything we've ever done, an expert told me, it won't work. I had a church builder and then another builder who had vast experience come look at that post office building. He said, "Preacher, I hate to disappoint you, but there's nothing you can do with this building unless they've changed it all around. I'd like you to see what we did with that building. We put a second floor in it. I'm not an engineer." Amen. We had 13 buses running from that corner of Willing and West Berry Street. It's amazing. And we bought, except for three houses that were holdouts, which was a blessing because we couldn't expand, so we had to go downtown. But you see, God used that humble location. God used that humble location to reach hundreds and hundreds of people through outreach. But they said it wouldn't work, but it did work. Then downtown they said, "Well, you know, this won't work. It's just not going to work." And I just didn't hear it. Because it did work. And it was working well when the storm came. Always things you'd like to do, but God had more for us on this property. Then there were some that, because of reasons I don't care to get into theological, but they said, "Your presence will never work over there where we are right now." But ladies and gentlemen, it has worked. And we have a school that works. And we have a Bible college that works. That works. It seemed like we've always been doing what the experts said is impossible to do. And I just want to encourage you. This house has encouraged so many churches and so many ministers. If God can do it for Calvary, God can do it for us. Nothing is impossible with God. I mean, every so often I hit a series of things. Maybe it's people, circumstances, maybe a little financial backup or whatever. And just for a moment, the human element says, "Oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to come around." And then I have to go back and do the same thing that I'm saying this morning. I have to practice what I preach. That the Lord God said, "For the Lord God will help me," the writer said, "therefore shall I not be confounded." I'm not going to be wounded, insulted, hurt. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be overwhelmed with the naysayers who said it can't be done. Amen. I'll not be confounded. I refuse to be confounded. "Therefore I've set my face like a flint." My face is set. There's something they say in New Zealand and Australia especially, to stay the course. And the Aussies that I met, they talk about staying the course. Is that right? Staying the course. It's, to me, a phrase that I heard in New Zealand, and I've heard it in Australia. That's what I want to do. Not go out a little while and then give up, but stay the course. "Therefore, I've set my face like a flint." Now, they have other names for railroad rocks. Do you ever see those little rocks, mean-looking rocks that put rails on? I call it flint, but there's another word for it, but I don't have time to get into that this morning. It's granite. I call it flint. We lived not too many blocks from the railroad when we were kids. We was always going up bringing some of those rocks home. I don't know why, but boys do that type of thing. Amen. But, you know, the thing about it is those rocks are hard. I mean, they're, you get one and strike it or try to break it or do whatever. Those formations of stone are hard. So hard that they can put them on under railroad ties and the rails and they hold on. You know, you've just got to keep your eyes on the prize. You've just got to keep your eyes on the prize. Do you hear me? And in a congregation this size, somebody this week got your eyes off the prize. Peter walked on the water as long as his eyes were on Jesus. Peter did what could not be done. Peter saw what you can't see. Peter was accomplishing what defies the very laws of nature until his eyes turned from Jesus to the storm, the wind, and the waves. And all of a sudden he was overwhelmed, because the only way you can safely walk on the water is to keep your eyes on Jesus. It's not going to work any other way. It's not. Believe me, it's not going to work any other way. I face too many deadlines. I face too many impossible situations. And I know it's not going to work until I get refocused on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Refocus on Jesus. My face, my focus is set to stay on the course. Hallelujah. And the third thing that we see, the third faith declaration here in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. And I know I shall not be ashamed. How do you know? Because I'm believing God's word. Now this, you know this has got to be in line with God's word. I mean, God's not going to go out and do something terrible to somebody because it'll benefit you. But what we believe and what we do must be in line with the word of God. And I think intelligent people understand that. But if it's in line with the word of God, especially if it's in line with the work of God, you can know, I can know, we can know that I shall not be ashamed. I know I'll not be put to shame. Hallelujah. I'll not be put to shame. You'll not be put to shame. Some way, somehow, God's going to bring us out. God's going to bring us out. Hallelujah. So these are the four declarations as I look into God's word. For the Lord God will help me. Say it out loud. For the Lord God will help me. The second part of it is, therefore I shall not be confounded. Let's say it together. Therefore I shall not be confounded. Thirdly, therefore if I set my face like a flint. Therefore, if I set my face like a flint, and now I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now I know that I shall not be ashamed. I'll not be put to shame. I will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Every major Calvary Cathedral International breakthrough, it's a miracle of provision. It's a miracle of setting your face like a flint, believing the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now, you know, I want to sort of close with this one because this is so very special. Let's see. I want to turn it over to be sure I read it right. Because, you know, sometimes young people, they think, well, you know, this is only for the deeply spiritual saints that are older than I am. And what chance does a young person have? Listen, young people, Jesus grew in favor with God and with man. And I want to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I read this past week. It works for young people too. It works for teenagers. It works for college and career. It works for moms and dads. But I just want to bring it to the young people. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was what? 16 years old. You mean you don't have to live a long time to discover these truths? Get on them while you're keen. Get on them while your faith is on the line. Uzziah was 16 years old and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. I believe I pronounced that right. And notice in verse 4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God. Church, all of us, listen to this. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord. And I'll tell you, from the first day we had the first Sunday on this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Pastor Bob Nichols has been keenly conscious. It's not by my might nor my power. It's by the Spirit of God. I look at the things God has accomplished through you, the team, the faith team of Calvary. The impossible things that we've seen happen in this city and even in other lands. Down in the Caribbean, television station 24 hours a day was raised up there, going strong. And out of the little came the big to Uganda. I've never had a class, even in Bible college, on how to start a television station. You didn't have it in seminary either, did you, Brother Gary? It's on-the-job training. But God brought a baby and put a baby on our doorstep and said, what are you going to do with the baby? And I said, God, you've got to help us. Well, that's a very good conclusion. But God sent us the help that we needed, gave us the favor that we needed. And I'll ever be grateful. We love the two major networks. We love Daystar. We love TBN. But this happened to have happened through TBN. Paul Crouch didn't think it could happen. He said, you can't get a permit in Grenada, but we did. He said, you can't get a permit in Uganda, but we did. And then they helped us to get it built, and now, of course, it's been our baby to run, to raise, and to see. But the only way that or anything else is going to work is that we seek God. We're not going to have good music just because we're good musicians. We're not going to have good preaching just because we're great preachers. Or successful businesswomen or housewives, whatever. It's not by our might nor our power. We've been doing the impossible for almost 50 years. Things that are improbable, impossible. Things we weren't trained for. But as long as we seek God, God will make us to prosper. As long as we seek God, God will make us to prosper. We've spent time with Paul, with Matt Crouch, but I'll never forget what Paul Crouch said when he came over to help dedicate the station. He said, I've never seen a church step up to the plate. In all the world, I've never seen a church step up to the plate to raise up a television station in another nation. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath. And let me jump down to verse 7. And God helped him. Help. As long as he sought the Lord. As long as he, say it out loud with me. As long as he sought the Lord. Church, we got to keep on praying. Not just moaning and groaning, not just religious prayers. We got to keep on praying. Don't slack off on your prayer life. We've got to keep on believing. Keep on confessing God's word. Keep on trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. I mean, there are two or three checks that came through before the end of the year that were impossible in the natural. But God. I wished I was real rich. Because I just love to help support a church like this. You talk about partnership. Talk about partnership. This offers one of the greatest opportunities. Because you can see what it's doing. We have proof of where everything's going. And thank God Calvary Cathedral International is not just sitting here sucking our thumb. You know, and we're out in the harvest. We're overseas. We're reaching out. We've had to back up and punt in a couple of areas, but that's okay. It's going to come out better. We are, one thing that was made real to me this week, and I need to wind this up. We're positioned well. We are positioned well. We need more cash flow, but we are positioned well. I don't know of any church that's positioned as well as far as indebtedness of property. And I want you to set your faith on the line. It's beginning to happen. There's not a week that goes by but what somebody either sends a message or people are on the way to their house and said, I don't know why in the world we ever left Fort Worth. We're coming back. We miss our home church, Calvary. We want to come back to a church that has a vision to reach its part of the world. They're coming. They're coming, ladies and gentlemen. People that love this house and want to be here and they've been blessed by it, they're on the way. Help is on the way. And I just want to, be faithful, don't you? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And God helped him. Hallelujah. And God helped him. And God helped him. And God helped him. For the Lord God will help me. I'll not be confounded. I've set my face like a flint. And I know that I'll not be ashamed. We're going forward, not backward. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Gary, I want you and your girls to come. Praise God. Just come up here with us. Praise God. You know, these girls have been raised in Uganda. And we were eating last evening, and I thought, what a precious family. They gave up their home here. They've been over in Uganda, and we've encouraged them to come back more often, which you're in the process of doing. It's just a good way to keep balance for all your family. I want you to stand with me. Please don't leave on this. Give us 5 minutes, 6 minutes. I want you to hold your hand out. Amen. Staff, I wonder if have some men and women of staff just come up here and it's important to pray for these people. This man can pick up the phone and talk to the president's wife or the leaders of Uganda at any time. The Lighthouse television station is an awesome blessing of God. And yet there's always somebody that'd like to shoot us down. It's just like the states. You know, you have many adversaries. But God's brought us through every crisis. Some of the most absurd things, some new person gets in office and they don't quite know that Lighthouse does the impossible. How many times has God changed things that would have gone the other way? Major, real major, that could have even shut us down.
But the challenge is constantly. We think that we'll have a rest now. We've fought the battles, but something can always come up. It's amazing. In other countries, amen.
Praise God. I tell you what, while we're praying for them, if you can put that television station up here. And by the way, I think everybody here now doesn't mind me talking about what God's done in this house. Because you're part of it. You're part of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a miracle. They'll find it a moment. Father, we just reach out to the Everett family. We reach out to Minshew now, who is with her folks there for a few days. Reach out to Brother Gary, Elizabeth Victoria, Mikey. Father, we speak supernatural blessing and protection over these precious people. Oh, God, take care of their home that we've provided for them there in Kampala. Protect them as they drive across and around the city and surrounding areas. Father, we thank you for supernatural divine protection of that television station. In the name of Jesus. Father, as they go back with stronger purpose this time than ever before. We will see the goodness of God in a stronger way in the land of the living. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shila barabakata rabakata. Shobre dalabosai. In the name of Jesus. We bless you guys. We bless you. And you're going to be well and healthy as you go home. And you're going home and school and everything's going to fall right in place. Praise God. Now I'm going to let you and the girls go because you've got to make your flight. So I just go ahead and do what you need to do. Here's what I... 1993, I knew we had to have revival. Didn't need it. We have to have it. God brought it. Not everyone's been here since then. Some of you have been here for a long time. I want people that are hungry for more of God in your life. You're hungry to see a higher wave of revival. I wonder if you could just come. I'm not going to preach anymore, but I wonder if we could just come. We'll hear. It's going to be a Holy Ghost service tonight. I'm hungry. I'm really hungry to see more of God, to see His power, more signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, just stop your ears to any naysayer and say, we're going through, we're going on, we're coming out on the other side. Amen. The hand of God is on this church. We always have had challenges. We have challenges now, but we're coming through, we're coming out on top. I wonder if you could just cry out to God with me and say, Lord, fill me anew. Oh, God, fill me anew. Fill me anew, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill me anew, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we present our bodies as living sacrifices unto Thee, holy and acceptable. Oh, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we embrace our Bibles. We embrace our Bibles as never before. We embrace the Word of God, the promises of God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we call in people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call in money from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Father, I thank You that money, good money, big money, is coming into the hands of believers to help us to finance this end time vision. In the name of Jesus, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. We will experience revival. We will see the move of God in the land.